But on air defense specifically, I've been told they're running out of S-300 of parts, weapons all over the world, and so therefore they have to go to Western.
I think for air defenses and frankly for ground forces, what you're seeing is having to go from the old Soviet systems to almost certainly Western systems for the reasons you said.
And this is all, of course, before we get to Ukraine's spring offensive. You are trying to figure out how to get all these armored vehicles and their parts into Ukraine. How do you know that they'll have enough of those munitions, those parts, those modern weapons to be able to launch some kind of counteroffensive in the coming weeks?
What we're doing is working with the Germans, the Poles, and the other countries when we have a shortfall in parts, say for a certain version of Leopards, to scour and find those parts, even to the extent we can find advanced manufacturing and 3D print. So we're working on each one. And the idea is to make sure that there are enough parts to sustain for each model.
Why not give Ukraine the longer-range weapon known as the ATACMS, which would fly 180 miles that it's been requesting, that so far the administration has refused?
Yeah, it's been a policy decision to date that the long-range weapons, which we have been providing, which is about an 80-kilometer precision-guided weapon, is sufficient in range for the targets that they have. I think for when you get into types of capabilities that are well beyond it, you get into policy issues and sustainment issues of whether or not it's an escalatory thing.
If I could, though, intelligence officials tell me that specifically the capacity of the ATACMS and the range of the ATACMS is a red line for the Kremlin in terms of what Ukraine would be able to hit if it were to use that weapon in Russia. But why is that a concern, given that Ukraine has promised not to use American weapons inside Russia?